Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, is that Todd in there?
Yeah, Todd's right here.
He's going to leave. He's going to tell you, hey, I'll be back in a little bit, and then he won't come back. He won't show up, so watch that.
Why would he do that to me?
I don't know, but he does it to me, so
that's
make sure he doesn't say, I'll be right back here in about 30 minutes.
And then, ghost right, Lebo over here?
And then you get a text message. Oh,
just call him Casper.
So why'd you come back? Blame somebody. Don't accept responsibility.
My wife and daughter, he says.
Well, that's really a smart move, Todd. Just throw them under the bus.
Your daughter
on the radio.
Seemed like she wanted you to come back, so he'll be back. So we'll see.
Oh, then it's his son's fault.
Oh, okay,
his son had to go home.
Nate Bucati, we have another special guest in studio. Thank you to Sam Mellinger for joining us in studio over the past hour. Now, who's here, Nate Bucati?
His name is Patrick Bergabo.
Look at that. Unbelievable.
PR guru for Sporting Kansas City. He is the person, I will tell you, who incredibly cynically said he doesn't buy the hot dog race results at all. He thinks that Hartzell face planted on purpose for attention, taking all credit away from me for winning that.
So, a lot of people have taken that stance.
Yeah. Well, it's controversial.
He also said he'd be willing to room with you on the road.
Many people
working for Sporting Kansas City have declined that future invitation.
Austin's the only person that's willing to room with me on the road. That's part of the deal. But yes, Patrick's here, but he's brought someone with him. Gianluca Abbuccio, midfielder for Sporting Kansas City. And Gianluca, I intentionally did not say 16-year-old Gianluca Abbuccio. Because that's how
that he just did.
But
right now
I did. Yeah. Now I did. Because that's how you're referred to by everybody these days, right?
Yeah, I usually get that one a lot. 16-year-old.
You'd be happy next month when you turn 17.
Yeah.
You'd be like,
17-year-old.
Yeah.
So when you hear that, are you like, okay, just say my name? I don't know. Or is that something you're proud of, or you just get tired of it?
I'm not tired of it yet, I guess. But I think I've gotten used to it, so it's not that bad anymore.
And so Matt Beisler comes on the show once a week, and he's been sort of a mentor towards you. Although, how did music play into the carpool when you'd be? Because he would tell us that you'd play some music, and he would have no idea what it was, but he'd try. Yeah. And were you able to convert Matt Beisler into liking your style of music? Did you like his? How did this? Because two very different individuals, different ages, were forced together, which I feel like that'd be a really good sitcom that I'd watch a lot, you know? And then like Beisler's like, oh, this kid, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, he's rolling his eyes. So did you, so what music did you use to have Matt Beisler listen to in the car?
Well, first, I think the music's growing on him a little bit in the locker room, just playing the music. But
what are we talking about here? What do you play?
I mean, of course, I'm more of a hip-hop guy, a rap, of course. So,
okay.
I mean, at the start, it was kind of, he wasn't so sure about it. Now he's listening to it now.
What's your go-to? What do you like to listen to, like, before a match or when you're getting ready or training or anything else?
Well, actually, I like to listen to not as much rap. I kind of listen to, like, R&B more, just kind of slower.
Who's your favorite?
So you're not trying to get yourself wound up before a game.
I like to stay
taking
calm.
It easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, right now, I'll probably listen to, you know, Khalid.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite, his new albums. So,
are you going to go see him when he comes to Sprint Center?
We already have a couple guys going.
So you already—that's already done. Are you very excited about that?
Yes.
Well, Matt Beisler will be going with you.
I don't think so.
Okay, so no invitation.
I'll invite him, but I think he has a little more important things to do.
What about Nate? Nate on this show, he's our hip hop guy. What about Nate tagging you along to that concert? Would that be something you'd be interested in?
We have seats.
You need a chaperone?
Yeah.
Chaperone? Yeah.
Nate does need a chaperone. Would you be willing to watch him? Trust me. Is that something that you'd like to?
Yeah. The sad part is I've always been a hip-hop fan, like forever and ever, going back to the mid-80s, sadly, before you're even born. And now,
like 20 years before you're even born.
God, that's, oh my God, it's incredible. Were
you born in, what, 02?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was out of college.
I was in my senior year of college.
Oh, my God.
Better.
Yeah, so like my 9-year-old son keeps me current now on like hip hop music and stuff. It's sad. Like I don't know what's hot, and then all of a sudden my son's like, "Dad, will you get the new Migos album and download it for us?" You know, I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds cool." You know, so he loves that Khalid album. Yeah,
really good. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
for like, you have to understand, and I know like we had some fun with you know, people always introducing you as 16 years old, but like for me that. That's mind-boggling to me because I have a son right now that just turned 16, and there are certain things that he won't do, like clean his room or sometimes shower. And so then I see you performing at such a high level in a professional sport, and I just like, I mean, you're 16, and like when I was 16, boy, if I just went to school, like everyone would like pat me on the back, like, you showed up today, that was great. but for you, what's this been like? I mean, you're not only part of this organization, you've been playing like a star, and you've got what like I perceive to be something that you have all this pressure and everything else in your situation to perform, and it just talking to people and watching, it seems like you handle it like you've been doing this for you know 10 years, and it's just it's mind-boggling to someone like me. How do you explain that?
I can't really explain it. I mean, it's different for me also. I mean, I'm learning how to still deal with things also. You know, it's my second year pro, so I mean, I'm just trying to take it all in also. I mean, I try to keep a cool head and try to stay humble and everything. So, but I think, you know, everybody, my family and teammates, they all try to keep me grounded, and they're really good at that. And, you know, I haven't had any problems with that, 'cause I try to be, you know, as humble as I can be, and, you know, so just keep on working, because, you know, this is just the start for me.
For you, what was the most difficult thing or the most challenging thing, either when you first started or even now, to be at your age in this situation? What's the toughest thing about
definitely
it?
Moving away my family at first, because I moved when I was 14. So, I mean, my first year of high school, I was moving to a new state. I mean, my first year of high school. So that was probably the hardest thing for me. And it was, I mean, the first couple months were hard. I mean, I wanted to go back home. You know, I had no friends in school, wasn't really playing that much because it was my first, you know, couple months there. But, you know, I thought about it and I wanted to stay. My parents wanted me to stay, and, you know, it was the right choice.
That's, I think if anybody's listening, that's an incredible situation right there. You're from North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
It was awesome when you signed your pro deal. I got to meet your mom and spend some time with her. She's a fun lady to talk to. She's got a lot of personality, right? She's from the Bronx, New York.
Yeah.
Your dad's from Italy.
Yep.
But you're very close to your family, right?
Yes, very close.
You talked to your mom. They saw that on the Cincinnati game. She came to the game, right?
10-hour drive, yeah.
Wow. I was thinking about this because of this game this past weekend. You know, the guys on the team that travel, they're missing out on Easter brunch with the family and everything because you guys are flying home. You're out of town. Yeah. You miss out on all that stuff. Like, you don't get to spend a lot of holidays with your family because you're here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, usually just go back for Christmas, and I mean, that's basically the only holiday I think we get off, so, yeah.
As a teenage kid, I mean, how hard is that for you?
Yeah, it's definitely hard, you know, when you FaceTime them and they're all eating Sunday dinner Easter dinner together, and, you know, I'm kind of just sitting at home with the, you know, not with them. So that definitely is hard on me, but, you know, I also have a host family, and they do family things that my family does, so it's not as hard. Still hard, but, you know, it's not as hard because I still have somewhat of a family that take care of me and I can spend time with them.
And that was going to be my next question. For people that don't know your living arrangement, you live with a host family. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
I've been with them for my second year now, and I mean, they've been great. You know, they're basically my second family, my family away from home. I live with them. I see them every day, and, you know, they have two kids, so I'll go to their soccer games and basketball or whatever school plays or anything. So that's I feel like that keeps me in the circle with them, you know, just spending a lot more time with them. And we'll have family dinners whenever we can and spend as much time as possible.
And how old are the kids?
10 and 12.
And so, you know, you're quite a bit older, but at least, like you said, you take part in some of those activities that a sibling normally would. Like, you know, I've got four kids, so they all go to each other's games. Does that help you feel, even though it's your host family, like your second family, give you some normalcy and make you feel like, yes, I'm this professional athlete on my way to stardom, but I can still go to the host family's events and keep you grounded, like you said.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, one of the best things for me, because I can go home from, you know, soccer practice and I can go back to an actual family instead of going, you know, living with another teammate or anything like that. I actually get to live with a real family, and, you know, it's not always all about soccer. I get to, you know, whatever they're doing that night. So if it's anything school related, I can, you know, I'm be there with them, and it takes me kind of outside of just all around soccer. You know, I can do my own thing, you know, in the house with them, or I can, you know, go out with them and go have dinner outside of, you know, the house and stuff like that. So I think that keeps me really away from soccer if I don't, you know, if I don't want to play any more soccer.
So do you ever play the sporting card, say, like in my family with multiple kids, bathroom time is very important. Say, maybe if you're in the bathroom and whatever, you're like, hey, I scored a goal last time. I get like 15 minutes here. You try to drop it. I mean, what are you going to, how can you argue that? You know what I mean?
I have my own bathroom, so.
Oh, yo, there it is. Right there. That's what I'm talking about. I don't even have my own bathroom. I'm 46 years old.
Yeah. So for a 10-year-old kid, they got Gianluca Busio as their big brother coming to their soccer games. They got to think that's the coolest thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Do you have to keep a low profile when you go to their games and stuff? Do people all come rushing up to you, want to talk to you and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, actually the last game I went to my host sister's game, and actually I was watching it. Then after the game, the other team all came up to me after the game. And, I mean, I was surprised because it wasn't even my host sister's team. It was the other team. And they all wanted pictures and autographs. And I mean, I'm happy to do anything with them, you know, sign autographs, take pictures. You know, I love doing it.
That's gotta feel pretty cool.
Yeah, I would like it if maybe they're playing a pickup. Hey, we need one more. Oh, I'll call my brother, see if he can come up here and play. And just, you know, all of a sudden he rolls onto the field. Like, well, you know, he said we needed one more.
Yeah.
Kind of a ringer. I don't know. But yeah.
I'll point out to our folks that are listening right now, this is something the Sporting Kansas City is actively looking for at all times is host families. Because Sporting Kansas City are looking all over the country for the next Gianluca Busio, the next kid out there that's, well, how old were they when they how old were you when they contacted you first?
14.
14 years old. Yeah, so they're looking for 14-year-olds across the country, and they wanted to move to Kansas City, and they're looking for host families. If that's something that you're interested in doing, you can go to sportingkansascity.com. There's an academy tab there. If you click on the academy tab, you can see all the information about it, and you can reach out. But it makes a huge difference, does it not, for guys like you and Jalen Lindsay and all those guys that have moved here to town?
Yeah. I mean, I think having a host family, especially a good one, is really, really big for the kid because, you know, you're moving away and it's to play soccer, but, you know, you also want to have a life outside of soccer. And I think that's what the host family really does is, you know, kind of take you away from just playing soccer every single day, and they let you have a family experience even though you're not with your family. So it'll be hard at the start, but, you know, once you get to know them and get used to them, it'll be, you know, one of the best things that you can do.
I have people ask me this all the time when the stories come up about you is, hey, how does this kid handle school?
Yeah, I do everything online. I've done online for the past, you know, since I've been here, really. I did one semester at Blue Valley West, and then I went to online school, and I've been online ever since.
How hard is that? Because having taken some online courses, you got to be focused because any possible distraction could really screw you up. And it's harder for me to do that, or even like the people that I've been around, than actually go to sit in a school where, you know what, you got to focus on that. How difficult is that to do all that basically on your own online?
Oh, yeah, it's very difficult. I've gotten better at it, I guess, but, you know, you have to kind of force yourself to do it. And, I mean, I was not good at that. At the start, you know, I come home from practice and it was, do I want to play video games?
Right.
Or pick up my computer and do school. And at first I chose video games, and, you know, later down the road, my mom had to change that. So
would you be willing to mentor our producer Jake? Because here's his issue. He'll go home. Should I book the show and work on the show for tomorrow, or should I play video games? And many, many times he will book the video games.
Right.
So what words of wisdom could you give him to please do his job?
I'm still choosing video games sometimes.
Man. What video games? What are we talking about?
I'm on Fortnite a lot. I'm
a Red Dead Revolver?
Go ahead, Jake. Have this conversation.
I play Fortnite with my son, and I'm terrible.
So it's all Fortnite.
I'm just awful.
You play any sports?
Yeah,
video
games?
Or like, what's your
FIFA second probably? Yeah. Uh-huh. I only usually play that when I have somebody with me, so I can play against them. Or
who are you in FIFA?
A go-to team, probably right now, Dortmund. Okay. Sure, Dortmund's probably the one right now. Sometimes Manchester United.
But I would have figured there would be an Italian team. Since your dad, like, you go back to Italy a lot, right?
With if it would be Inter if I'm having fun, but they're not the best at FIFA.
Ah, just so it's about the winning.
Yeah, I care about winning a little more.
So is Inter your dad's team then?
Yeah, that's my.
How often do you go back to Italy?
Well, before I came here, we'd go every summer. Try to go every summer.
And where's he from in Italy?
He's from Brescia. It's like 2 hours away from Milan. So it's a really small town, but it's a really nice area.
I would love to go to Italy once in my life.
Yeah. But you're not able to do it now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're going to go probably the next couple months and, you know, we'll be in season. So, you know, I'm going to be sad to miss out, but here playing soccer, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah. He's kind of doing something important. You travel a little bit with this job, I think. That's what I've heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
get around.
What's been your, besides your home park, Children's Mercy Park, what's been your favorite place or atmosphere or anything that you've been a part of so far?
Well, actually this year we went to Mexico, Monterrey.
Right.
That stadium was crazy. You can see the mountain behind the stadium, and the fans were wild. And I think that was one of the biggest and, you know, most fun stadium I've played in ever.
So do you ever get nervous at all? Because you, like I said, you handle this like you're 28 years old and you've been doing this for over a decade. And so that's what so many people have commented about. You don't seem like you're 16 years old. You're able to handle this, and your nerves are, you know, just exactly what you'd want from a young player. But do you ever struggle with that, or nervous, or kind of like, I'm 16 years old, what's going on here?
A little bit. I tried, like you said, I try not to show it, and, you know, because I don't want to go out there and play nervous. I have confidence in myself and my ability, so.
You know how good you are.
I guess so, yeah. Right. I tried, you know, if I do play nervous, I feel like I'm not going to play my game and I'm not going to play good. So I think one of the hardest things yet easiest things is to go out there and play with confidence. And that's the, you know, that's one thing you can have as a young player. You know, I'm not going to be the biggest or strongest, but if you go out there confident and, you know, just go out there and play, then I feel like, you know, I can play my game more.
So we're visiting with Gianluca Busio, and one of the things that I was thinking about, my sports career ended at high school, but some of my buddies went on to play college ball, you know, junior college or small college ball, and when they would come back home in the summer after school, when we were in college, I'd ask them about what it was like playing college sports compared to high school athletics. Like, man, it's so much more serious. Like, it's, you know, when I was on the high school team, it was all about our buddies on the high school team, and we're here together, and it's, you know. And then we get to college and it's kind of a business, you know, you're just another guy. And if you don't get it done, they'll bring another guy in.
Yeah.
I got to imagine that going from high school to pro is 10 times more.
Yeah.
Can you tell me of a moment? Was there a moment where it was like, oh man, this is a business now. What was there a shock to the system at first when you became a pro and were training with those guys?
I don't think there was like exactly one moment, but I mean, I think for me, it was just like every single day we had to be there at 8 o'clock. We had to eat breakfast there every single day, you know, and stay there for a certain hour. And I think like the first couple months, you know, I was kind of just like, man, this is cool and all. But then once the, you know, second and third month hit, I was like, wait, I actually have to do this every single day. You know, I don't really have a break until, you know, like December. So
yeah.
I was like, wow, actually like this is real professional soccer. It's serious, you know. They, you know, it's a job really. So you have your hours. You have to be in you know, the office. And, you know, it took me a while to get used to just being, you know, I have to show up on time every single day. I can't be any, you know, a minute late, or, you know, you have to get fined. So that was a kind of shock for me, I guess, just knowing that, you know, this is my life every single day.
I'm thinking that there's players out there that have been playing Major League Soccer for 10 years or whatever, and all of a sudden this 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid gets signed to a professional contract. They have a press conference form and everything. I could see some guys being like, I'm going to send this kid a message first day in practice or two. Did you get any of that? Was it like, hey, kid, let's show you what this is really all about early on?
Actually, I don't think in practice, probably not. I think it was more off the field. You got to know your spot. And I mean, I think I tried not to step on anybody's toes my first, you know, couple months as a professional, just knowing, because, you know, I am a 15-year-old when I signed. So I was like, you know, I don't want to go mess with any veterans or anything. So, you know, I definitely stayed, you know, in my circle, but then kind of slowly opened up to when I got to know them more. So I think I just had to kind of respect them at the start and kind of slowly work your, you know, earn your respect, really.
Do you drive?
Yes, I do.
And so who taught you to drive? Or did anyone teach
you? Did you go to Driver's Ed?
Okay.
I went to Driver's Ed, but I think it was all mom and sister, really. Well, mom legally.
Right. So Peter Vermes didn't pick you up. Like, come on, let's go. Let's get
gotta get your hours in.
Yeah. coach you through some left turn signals and things like nothing like that. So now here's a very important question, and be sure to give the right answer, because I'm sure some of your teammates are listening. Mm. And so I'm looking at a tweet that was sent out earlier this month, always dressed 100. And here we have, now you were leading off very good, thumbs up, and then you have some teammates. Espinosa got some coffee there. And then you got Beasler. Beasler, you know, I'm sending, I don't know, this is like a men's catalog thing. I'm sending a text message and I'm smiling.
That looks like a Dockers commercial.
I don't know what's going on
with Matt
Beasley
here. Wearing right there.
Like, LLB.
He's standing in front of a truck, and I feel like you could go on a walk with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and it doesn't have to be anyone that's listed here. Best, in your opinion, best dressed teammate that you have on Sporting Kansas City, if you had to wear something for the rest of the season, only from this guy's wardrobe, who would you go with? No hurt feelings here, just tell the truth.
I'd say either Johan or...
Johan Quaze is French, you know, so he's always very fashion forward.
Tim Amelia is always pretty sharp.
But he's actually putting some thought in this.
No?
So he laughed at that idea.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
I don't think he's the best.
Yeah. So
wow. He's laughed you right out of the room.
He's not even in the running. We can't even suggest him.
He's on the opposite end.
Johnny Russell.
Opposite end.
I think Johan's number one for me. Then Rodney, he's impressed me.
What don't you like about Amelia's wardrobe? Like, what are we
just
you know?
Too baggy for me.
Too baggy.
Too baggy.
You like the kids like the tight clothes.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing against
him. He's a keeper.
You know, it just.
Yeah, Ronnie's a sneakerhead like me. We've had a lot of talks about our, you know, infatuation with old school Jordans. That picture you're talking about, though, Steven, Busio's wearing it. And again, for a person
and I like
who's
the bag, too. That, I don't know what's in there, but I like because that's
very rough
that,
and dotted.
Yeah. I like that. You look prepared. Yeah. You're, you know.
But he's got the old denim jean jacket on. We covered that you weren't even born until the 2000s. I had that exact coat, I swear, in 1985, right?
And now he's getting rid of that coat tomorrow.
Right, didn't we all have that coat in the mid-80s? That was like the thing, that the denim jacket like that. Right, Steven? Yeah.
Well... You know, I didn't fit into the same things you did. So
I never owned a lot of single denim jacket.
I was wearing a lot of jeans.
Not in my whole life.
I was always a leather jacket guy. Wow. I thought I was always in the T-Birds.
Maybe
with,
it was
John Travolta.
I never owned either. Maybe I never owned a leather jacket. I never owned a denim jacket. Still to this day.
Maybe it was living in Ark. I was living in Ark City, Kansas at that time, and you could like I don't think they'd let you roping. Into the middle school if you didn't have a jean jacket. You know, like you just sit outside, pal. You can't get in. You know.
So he used to live on a farm, and he used to have a pet raccoon just to sit on his shoulder as he walked around the town.
And now
you're a statement. Because that's actually a true statement.
And now you're dressing just like
and
you
And now
did.
Here he is.
Well,
and what was the raccoon's name?
Shades.
Boy.
Because it looks like he has sunglasses.
Now, don't you think differently of him now? He's get out there.
I don't really want to know what Gianluca thought of me before this.
Right. And so when I told you, before we break, final question for you, when you heard us talking about this, when you heard that many members of the Sporting Kansas City support staff, media relations, all departments refuse to room with Nate Bucati on the road, when you heard that, were you surprised? Like, what's wrong with Nate? Or was your reaction, I wouldn't want to either? Be honest. Is that, were you taken aback by that? Or
at first, I was like, I don't know why, but now I'm kind of...
Yeah, it's now you're trying to get
that. After that story.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't take the raccoon with it. I don't have a raccoon anymore, for the record. My final question for you, Gianluca, is you're a professional at, you know, 15, 16 years old. I remember my dad, I think, taught me how to balance a checkbook at about that time of my life. You know, like, I didn't have any income coming in. Mm-hmm. Do you handle your own finances and everything? Like, do you have help with that? Like, how... I just can't even picture like how that is for a person your age to be dealing with that.
I'm trying to learn about it just because, you know, you want to learn how to manage your money because that's one of the best things. So, but no, it's all my mom and, you know, of course, we have a finance guy and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm still kind of lost with it. I don't really know everything, you know, taxes and all that stuff. So
right.
I don't really know all about it. So I'm trying to learn about it. So when they go through it, I'll be on the, you know, on a phone call with them so we can all go through
and,
it together.
And look, and don't feel bad about it because, as I mentioned, I'm 46. I just recently learned how credit cards work in the past 3 or 4 months because, you know.
Oh, they're charging interest on that.
Oh, wait a minute.
I just thought I had to make
Why
the minimum
is it so
payment.
High now? Yeah. I thought everything was free.
Yeah. But it's but because of the host family, that gives you a little bit of a transition too. You're not out there paying for an apartment and all those kinds of things you got to work on. Yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's I mean, that makes it a lot easier. I don't have to pay for rent or anything.
Well, real quick thing on Sporting Kansas City. You guys coming off a tough result, obviously, in San Jose, but you got 5 out of the next 6 games at home.
Yeah.
Which I'll point out to our listeners, by the way, local night on Saturday this weekend. They got the T-shirt ticket package and then retro night the weekend after that. Mm-hmm. But for you guys, what's the feeling like? Is there a big sense of urgency with these 5 out of 6 mm-hmm. games at home to start you know, getting things going in the right direction?
We definitely want to, you know, we've had some tough results the past couple games, you know. So we definitely want to use these, you know, in front of the home crowd. We want to show them something and kind of make up for, you know, the games we've lost and kind of show that, you know, kind of get back to our old ways, you know, so how good we can be as a team and what we really can do as a team. So I think we're all excited, but, you know, we're ready for these next games.
How does it feel to know that Patrick Mahomes cheers for you?
I don't know if he cheers for me personally.
I think he cheers for you. You're part of the, he cheers for you.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
You're damn right.
You're damn right. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming to the studio, man.
Yeah, thanks
that
for
was awesome. Yeah. Nate Buchanan, good job.
Who's got better hair, Patrick Mahomes or you?
Me.
There we go. Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.